My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
What do we got, Denton?
We got a lot. This was a great weekend of sports, Kevin. I'm going to start in the WNBA. I'm surprised we haven't tackled this subject yet, and I'm also proud of us for not jumping to this. But Caitlin Clark and the Fever beat the Chicago Sky. Angel Reese, 91-83. Clark at 23 points, 7 of 11 shooting. She played really well. But all anybody is talking about is the flagrant foul from Angel Reese on Caitlin Clark. Looks like she's going for the block, kind of elbows her in the head in the process, gets a flagrant call, and now we're all up in arms because Angel Reese hit Caitlin Clark in the head.
I got to look at this video. You should. What you needed to tell me to look at this video. Hold on.
I'm stunned you haven't seen this yet.
I haven't seen it. I played golf, and I was into the golf yesterday.
The game itself, I'll filibuster while you look it up.
Is this the block shot in the third quarter, Caitlin?
Yeah.
In regular motion, it doesn't look flagrant to me. I guess I got to watch the replay here.
Yeah, you watch the replay. It's only a conversation because it's Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. If this was in the NBA,
that's not flagrant to me at all. It was called flagrant.
They reviewed it and called it a flagrant one.
I think that's a bad call. I think she's looking up towards the ball to try to get to block it. She does hit her head, but I don't think that's intentional or flagrant. I mean, maybe the rule is she hit her head, so it's going to be flagrant, but I don't think it was intentional. Now, there's another angle I'm watching that makes it look intentional, but if you watch the angle that shows Angel Reese from the front trying to defend the drive, she's looking at the ball, trying, and she doesn't have a chance to get to the ball, so I would hear that argument too.
It's literally just because it's Angel Reese. And because she was the...
So she got a flagrant one, so was that two free throws in the ball? The view from the back, she really does whack her head pretty good.
She definitely makes contact with her.
Yeah.
I don't mind it being a flagrant call. Like, if the rule is the contact to the head is looked at for, I don't mind that being a flagrant. I just don't think it was intentional. I don't think it was this.
That's exactly the way I would describe it. I think if that's the rule and that's flagrant, then it's a flagrant foul. I do not see that. Like, the Kennedy Carter thing is intentional and flagrant.
Right.
This is a drive, she's trying to reach, and by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know Angel Reese's game like I know Caitlin Clark's game, but she's a defender and a shot blocker, right?
Yes, she is. That is her forte.
Yeah, I don't think that one's intentional. How did she handle the aftermath here? Did she go help her up or anything like that? Probably not, right?
No, she did not. No.
She's not what you would call the most gracious of competitors.
She wasn't exactly great in the post-game stuff after. Caitlin Clark was, obviously. But she wasn't great in the post-game after. I just don't think it was intentional.
I don't think that was intentional either. I bet you a lot of people disagree with this.
Yes.
I think it's flagrant because she hit her in the head going for the block shot, but I don't think she was targeting Caitlin Clark on that particular move. I don't think so. Although there are a couple of angles where it does look like she is. But anyway, all right. So how did this – so you're saying Indiana won the game?
Yes, yeah, they did. Caitlin Clark did really well.
They've won a bunch of games now, haven't they?
Yeah, I think her teammates are starting to play to Caitlin Clark's speed a little bit. When she's in transition, she's always two steps ahead. It's really impressive. And now I think her teammates are – they are better at anticipating what she's going to do.
She led them in scoring yesterday.
Yeah.
23 points, double. 9 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 block shots, 7 of 11 from the floor, 3 of 7 from behind the arc, didn't miss a free throw, 23 points, and they won. They've got a better record than Chicago.
They do.
I thought Chicago was supposed to be, I don't know who's supposed to be good. What do I know?
The Liberty and the Aces are the teams that are supposed to be good.
Is one of them Connecticut? I thought Connecticut was really good.
Connecticut is really good. The Aces are supposed to be, but they've lost like 6 of their last 7.
Who are the Aces? What city?
Las Vegas.
Got it.
That's Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson.
Okay.
I do have 2 baseball stories that I want to give you, but first I think we need to go and support our local DMV. Katie Ledecky smashed the 400 freestyle in the U.S.
She's
championships.
Great.
To qualify for her 4th Olympic team. I put a tweet out that went like annoyingly viral, but it's true because she did the thing where she was the only one on screen for like the final 2 minutes of the race. That's how far ahead she is. But you got to pay attention when the Olympics come around, Kevin, because Katie Ledecky, and excuse me if I butcher this name, Ariane Titmus from Australia and Summer McIntosh for Canada, those are the 3 women right now that are the best at the world at that event. And those 2 other women have better times this year than Katie Ledecky. I'm excited for the 400 women's freestyle at the Olympics this year. I think it's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Summer Olympics are awesome. The swimming's great. The track and field's great. You know, the gymnastics, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the women's gymnastics is usually the most watched part of the Summer Olympics.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
If there's some big American story there, then I'll watch, and there will be, right? With
Simone Biles. Yeah.
So I'll watch that. I tend to really like track and field in the men's basketball, but, the swimming's great, and the swimming usually happens early, right? In the first few days. Isn't
yeah.
that typically the schedule?
Yeah, it's usually the swimming and the diving are one of the 2 earlier events.
Yeah.
I like the diving, too. I don't know what's going on. I just think it looks cool.
I mean, somebody mentioned to me recently that Katie Ledecky, with her expected performance in Paris, that you'll start to make the case that she's the greatest individual athlete of all time. And that the conversation with Phelps, like, it's not even close how much she dominates the competition compared to him. I'm not an expert in this area. We had her on the show before the last Olympics.
We'll have to reach out to her because she's awesome. I love watching her. She's one of my favorites. It's crazy. She's only 27. This is going to be her 4th Olympics.
Yeah, she started, my hood, too.
She started at 15.
We were mutual parishes. That would be the Church of Little Flower in Bethesda, for those of you who know the area. Are we going to get to the Nats?
Yeah, so I got 2 baseball stories. The Nats are a big one. They sweep the Marlins 3-1 victory on Sunday. They're 35-36, a half game back of the wild card. They start a series Tuesday with Arizona at Nats Park.
Well, actually, they're not a half game back. They are actually in the 3rd wild card spot right now, tied with San Diego. They're sitting there tied with San Diego. Right now, if the season ended, I don't know who would win the tiebreaker. They have a 1-game playoff between San Diego and Washington. We got a long way to go. They've only played 71 games. They play 162. But the Nats swept the Marlins. This was what we were talking about, you know, the schedule, the way it's set up with some of the teams that they were going to be playing, that they had to take advantage of this stretch, you know, with, you know, the Marlins. They play the Diamondbacks next. Arizona's a team that, has struggled. They're 2 games, 3 games below 500, something like that. But the starting pitching from the Nats this weekend. You know, you start on Friday night, Mackenzie Gore, 10 strikeouts, one earned run, seven innings, just five hits. His ERA down to 3.24, and I think it was his last outing where he struggled. Then you get the guy DJ Hers, who gets the start on Saturday, six innings complete, one hit, no earned runs, 13 strikeouts. That's 23 strikeouts in back-to-back nights by your starting pitching. And then yesterday, you get Mitchell Parker, who has the lefty's been outstanding. He gives up just one earned run on six hits and six complete. This is what's incredible about the Nats season so far, because nobody predicted this. They're starting pitching outstanding. And this weekend, they got three gems in three easy wins. 8-1, I think, was the score Friday night. They shut the Marlins out 4-0 on Saturday. 3-1, they won yesterday. And they're a game below 500 before they start this homestand with Arizona. And keep in mind, after Arizona's at Colorado. So this is the stretch, because You get six games here. If somehow you get four out of the six, all right, and you're 39-38 as we approach the end of June here, I mean, you got to start, you're a month away from the trade deadline. You got to start wondering, are the Nats going to be in position to be buyers? And if they are in position to be buyers, will the Learners let Rizzo go out and buy a bat and trade for a bat? Because the National League is mediocrity after Philly, the Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Braves. Actually, the Nats, I think, are only 3.5 games or 4 games behind the Braves. You know who else has become red hot here recently? And it started when they swept the Nats a week and a half ago, the Mets. The Mets have been, you know, they've won 5 or 6 in a row. That's huge. The Nats are becoming a story here in mid-June. We'll see. These games at Arizona, big games coming up. Arizona's won, I think I looked this up earlier, 5 out of their last 7 or something like that to get to within 2 games of 500. But yeah, if the season ended today, the Nats in the wild card race in the National League, at least according to ESPN, would be in a tie for that third spot with the Padres, a half game ahead of Arizona, San Francisco. Now, there are a lot of teams in the mix. I mean, the Mets are a game and a half out when they're 4 games below 500.
It's also worth pointing out, after Colorado, they're on the road in San Diego. That's going to be a big series.
Yeah, huge. Look, they're only a half game behind St. Louis for the second wild card spot. Like, there are 2 wild card spots, you know, in play with like 7 or 8 teams in the National League right now. I don't know how it'll flush out 2 months from now and what we'll be looking at, you know, in mid-August or mid-September, 3 months from now. These are long seasons, but good on them. They have played well, and man, their starting pitching has been outstanding. You got some more, right? But we got to get a break.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Let's do that. We'll be back right after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
What do we got, Denton?
We got a lot. This was a great weekend of sports, Kevin. I'm going to start in the WNBA. I'm surprised we haven't tackled this subject yet, and I'm also proud of us for not jumping to this. But Caitlin Clark and the Fever beat the Chicago Sky. Angel Reese, 91-83. Clark had 23 points, 7 of 11 shooting. She played really well. But all anybody is talking about is the flagrant foul from Angel Reese on Caitlin Clark. Looks like she's going for the block, kind of elbows her in the head in the process, gets a flagrant call, and now we're all up in arms because Angel Reese hit Caitlin Clark in the head.
I got to look at this video. You should. What you needed to tell me to look at this video. Hold on.
I'm stunned you haven't seen this yet.
I haven't seen it. I played golf, and I was into the golf yesterday.
The game itself, I'll filibuster while you look
it up. Is this the block shot in the third quarter, Caitlin?
Yeah.
In regular motion, it doesn't look flagrant to me. I guess I got to watch the replay here.
Yeah, you watch the replay. It's only a conversation because it's Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. If this was in the NBA.
Oh, that's not. I'm sorry. That's not flagrant to me at all. It was called flagrant?
They reviewed it and called it a flagrant one.
I think that's a bad call. I think she's looking up towards the ball to try to get to block it. She does hit her head, but I don't think that's intentional or flagrant. I mean, maybe the rule is she hit her head, so it's going to be flagrant, but I don't think it was intentional. Now, there's another angle I'm watching that makes it look intentional, but if you watch the angle that shows Angel Reese from the front trying to defend the drive, she's looking at the ball, trying, and she doesn't have a chance to get to the ball, so I would hear that argument too.
It's literally just because it's Angel Reese. And because she was the...
So she got a flagrant one, so was that two free throws in the ball? The view from the back, she really does whack her head pretty good.
She definitely makes contact with her.
Yeah.
I don't mind it being a flagrant call. Like, if the rule is the contact to the head is looked at for, I don't mind that being a flagrant. I just don't think it was intentional. I don't think it was this.
That's exactly the way I would describe it. I think if that's the rule and that's flagrant, then it's a flagrant foul. I do not see that. Like, the Kennedy Carter thing is intentional and flagrant.
Right.
This is a drive, she's trying to reach, and by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know Angel Reese's game like I know Caitlin Clark's game, but she's a defender and a shot blocker, right?
Yes, she is. That is her forte.
Yeah, I don't think that one's intentional. How did she handle the aftermath here? Did she go help her up or anything like that? Probably not, right?
No, she did not. No.
She's not what you would call the most gracious of competitors.
She wasn't exactly great in the postgame stuff after. Caitlin Clark was, obviously. But she wasn't great in the postgame after. I just don't think it was intentional.
I don't think that was intentional either. I bet you a lot of people disagree with this.
Yes.
I think it's flagrant because she hit her in the head going for the block shot. But I don't think she was targeting Caitlin Clark on that particular move. I don't think so. Although there are a couple of angles where it does look like she is. But anyway, all right. So you're saying Indiana won the game?
Yes, yeah, they did. Caitlin Clark played really well.
They've won a bunch of games now, haven't they?
Yeah, I think her teammates are starting to play to Caitlin Clark's speed a little bit. When she's in transition, she's always two steps ahead. It's really impressive. And now I think her teammates are better at anticipating what she's going to do.
She led them in scoring yesterday.
Yeah.
23 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 block shots, 7 of 11 from the floor, 3 of 7 from behind the arc, didn't miss a free throw, 23 points, and they won. They've got a better record than Chicago.
They do.
I thought Chicago was supposed to be, I don't know who's supposed to be good. What do I know?
The Liberty and the Aces are the teams that are supposed to be good.
Is one of them Connecticut? I thought Connecticut was really good.
Connecticut is really good. The Aces are supposed to be, but they've lost like 6 of their last 7.
Who are the Aces? What city?
Las Vegas.
Got it.
That's Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson.
Okay.
I do have two baseball stories that I want to give you, but first I think we need to go and support our local DMV. Katie Ledecky smashed the 400 freestyle in the U.S. Championships to qualify for her fourth Olympic team. I put a tweet out that went like annoyingly viral, but it's true because she did the thing where she was the only one on screen for like the final 2 minutes of the race. That's how far ahead she is. But you got to pay attention when the Olympics come around, Kevin, because Katie Ledecky, and excuse me if I butcher this name, Ariane Titmus from Australia and Summer McIntosh for Canada, those are the three women right now that are the best at the world at that event, and those two other women have better times this year than Katie Ledecky. I'm excited for the 400 women's freestyle at the Olympics this year. I think it's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Summer Olympics are awesome. The swimming's great. The track and field's great. You know, the gymnastics, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the women's gymnastics is usually the most watched part of the Summer Olympics.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's some big American story there, then I'll watch, and there will be, right, with
Simone Biles. Yeah.
So I'll watch that. I tend to really like track and field in the men's basketball, but the swimming's great, and the swimming usually happens early, right, in the first few days? Isn't that typically the schedule?
Yeah, it's usually the swimming and the diving are one of the two earlier events. I like the diving, too. I don't know what's going on. I just think it looks cool.
I mean, somebody mentioned to me recently that Katie Ledecky, with her expected performance in Paris, that you'll start to make the case that she's the greatest individual athlete of all time, and that the conversation with Phelps, like, it's not even close how much she dominates the competition compared to him. I'm not an expert in this area. We had her on the show before the last Olympics.
We'll have to reach out to her because she's awesome. I love watching her. She's one of my favorites. It's crazy. She's only 27. This is going to be her fourth Olympics.
Yeah, she started my hood, too.
She started at 15.
We were mutual parishes. That would be the Church of Little Flower in Bethesda, for those of you who know the area. Are we going to get to the Nats?
Yeah, so I got two baseball stories. The Nats are a big one. They sweep the Marlins 3-1 victory on Sunday. They're 35-36, a half game back of the wild card. They start a series Tuesday with Arizona at Nats Park.
Well, actually, they're not a half game back. They are actually in the third wild card spot right now, tied with San Diego. They're sitting there tied with San Diego. Right now, if the season ended, I don't know who would win the tiebreaker. They have a one-game playoff between San Diego and Washington. We got a long way to go. They've only played 71 games. They play 162. But the Nats swept the Marlins. This was what we were talking about, you know, the schedule, the way it's set up with some of the teams that they were going to be playing, that they had to take advantage of this stretch, you know, with, you know, the Marlins. They play the Diamondbacks next. Arizona's a team that, has struggled. They're three games below 500, something like that. But the starting pitching from the Nats this weekend, you know, you start on Friday night, Mackenzie Gore, 10 strikeouts, one earned run, 7 innings, just 5 hits. His ERA down to 3.24, and I think it was his last outing where he struggled. Then you get the guy DJ Hers, who gets the start on Saturday, 6 innings complete, 1 hit, no earned runs, 13 strikeouts. That's 23 strikeouts in back-to-back nights by your starting pitching. And then yesterday, you get Mitchell Parker, who has the lefty's been outstanding. He gives up just one earned run on 6 hits and 6 complete. This is what's incredible about the Nats season so far, because nobody predicted this. Their starting pitching, outstanding. And this weekend, they got 3 gems in 3 easy wins. 8-1, I think, was the score Friday night. They shut the Marlins out 4-0 on Saturday. 3-1, they won yesterday, and they're a game below 500 before they start this homestand with Arizona. And keep in mind, after Arizona's at Colorado So this is the stretch, because you get six games here. If somehow you get four out of the six, all right, and you're 39-38 as we approach the end of June here, I mean, you got to start, you're a month away from the trade deadline, you got to start wondering, are the Nats going to be in position to be buyers? And if they are in position to be buyers, will the Learners let Rizzo go out and buy a bat and trade for a bat? Because the National League is mediocrity after Philly, the Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Braves. Actually, the Nats, I think, are only 3.5 games or 4 games behind the Braves. You know who else has become red hot here recently? And it started when they swept the Nats a week and a half ago, the Mets. The Mets have been, you know, they've won 5 or 6 in a row. That's huge. The Nats are becoming a story here in mid-June. We'll see. These games at Arizona, big games coming up. Arizona's won, I think I looked this up earlier, 5 out of their last 7 or something like that to get to within 2 games of 500. But yeah, if the season ended today, the Nats in the wild card race in the National League, at least according to ESPN, would be in a tie for that third spot with the Padres, a half game ahead of Arizona, San Francisco. Now, there are a lot of teams in the mix. I mean, the Mets are a game and a half out when they're 4 games below .500.
It's also worth pointing out, after Colorado, they're on the road in San Diego. That's going to be a big series.
Yeah, huge. Look, they're only a half game behind St. Louis for the second wild card spot. Like, there are 2 wild card spots, you know, in play with like 7 or 8 teams in the National League right now. I don't know how it'll flush out 2 months from now and what we'll be looking at, you know, in mid-August or mid-September, 3 months from now. These are long seasons, but good on them. They have played well, and, man, their starting pitching has been outstanding. You got some more, right? But we got to get a break.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Let's do that. We'll be back right after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.